Open that somewhere. Joshua in the chapter 3, please. Joshua in the chapter 3. Reading together from the verse 1 of the chapter. Word of God says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore.' Joshua said unto the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, 'Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people.' And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, 'This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I shall command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan.' And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, 'Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap.' It came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, very far from the city Adam, that is, beside Zaretan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off when the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Amen. Ending our reading there. May Lord bless indeed his word to your hearts. As we come to this third chapter, we come, of course, to a chapter which testifies to the reality of the moment that the children of Israel as a nation now find themselves in. We just have to picture the scene for a moment and remember that indeed a wilderness and all of the years of wandering that they have endured as a nation of people together ever since the Lord brought them out of the land of Egypt is behind them. And what lies in front of them is, of course, that inheritance that God has promised to them. Ever since the days of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, this is truly what he had promised and foretold of. But in between them lay, of course, that great swelling river, the River Jordan. And beyond the river, just a short distance, was the foreboding city of Jericho. And this would be but the first of many formidable cities that they must overcome if they were to truly dwell in the land, possess the land, and claim the land as their own. Here in this chapter, we have depicted to us a moment whenever they could do nothing else but cast themselves upon the promises of God. Remember the reality of the testimony of God, His power, His faithfulness, His perpetual presence in their midst. And because of all of this, then they must as a people press on. I believe that this was all God's plan along all the time. all along. He desired nothing more than they would, without a moment's thought, a second thought, cast themselves upon him. How true that is so often in our lives also. How that God permits things which bring us to the very same point in life's experience. A point where Jordan must be crossed, a point where Jericho must be conquered, a point afforded to us as a glorious opportunity to exercise our faith and prove our God. For this is exactly what I submit to you, chapter 3 and indeed chapter 4 is all about. Israel exercising their faith. Israel proving their God. You see, whilst the promises of chapter 1 were dear to Joshua's heart, and these promises enabled him to embrace the role that God had given to him, and whilst chapter 2 then brought a report that left the people at large heartened to see how God was working and how God was going before them as they heard what the spies returned with, nevertheless, chapter 3 brings us to a moment when leader and people alike are being challenged to live out their faith and to put their faith to the test as they proved their God and as they proved His Word. Last week, we noted the reality that chapter 2 could have easily been left out. So it's not crucial to the narrative of how the children of Israel conquered Canaan if we wanted to just note the practical steps that were involved from passing from the wilderness into the land. How that has city upon city must be traveled to and the people must be overcome in order that they as a nation might truly dwell in the land in safety and prosperity. But chapter 2 is, however, crucial, not just because of the standalone lessons that we can learn, and I trust we did learn from that chapter, but it's also crucial because, more importantly, we see how God was leaving a leader and a people in no doubt of what His will was. And He was almost now, as we come to chapter 3, immediately providing them with an opportunity to prove Him at His word. In essence, He was putting them as a nation to the test, whilst all along seeking that they, as a nation, might put His word to the test also. And this word that they had received, these assurances that they could count upon, were all grounded a mile deep in days gone past. For they as a nation could look back already on an heritage in which there was an abundance of testimony that could be provided to furnish the argument that God was a faithful God, that God was a God who was true to His word, that God was a God who, as He promised to, so He would accomplish in the very midst of the people all He had promised. Now here was the opportunity where all of these things, and indeed His promises afresh to them, were being given an opportunity to be reconfirmed and revalidated in their times. That they themselves could prove that their God was all-powerful. That they themselves could know that their God was faithful in every way. That they themselves could prove that their God was always with them. And so we come to a chapter which is all about the exercise of faith. It communicates to us some realities which remain true to this very day, which must be existent if we are to successfully exercise our faith today. The first of these things is the demonstration of the steps of obedience. The steps of obedience. Look in the verse 1. The Bible tells us that Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. This is all, remember, because God had promised to Joshua in the chapter 1 that in 3 days' time they would cross over. So no longer was their camp to be this place called Shittim. No, now they must move to the very brink of the river itself. Just a step away from that place where they would cross to enter into all that God had promised to them. So their obedience is seen as they pack up their camp at Shittim and they move to the very brink, the very banks of the Jordan. But notice it's not also seen in the moving of the camp, but it's also noted in verse 3 because they followed the ark. Came to pass, it tells us in verse 2, that after 3 days that the officers went through the host and they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Here was the command given. Look in verse 14. The Bible tells us there that as it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark, they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan. Obedience. As you see the ark being lifted, and as you see the priests bearing the ark, then people get up from where you are and follow after the ark. Verse 14 records that they did exactly that. So their obedience is noted because they packed up their camp and they moved to the brink of the Jordan. It's seen also because as they came to the Jordan, whenever the days were accomplished, then as the ark was lifted upon the shoulders and the priest set forth, then so too the people followed at a distance. But notice also that their obedience is seen in verse 5. For Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Here he's exhorting them to a holy way of living. Look in the verse 16. That the waters which came from above stood and rose upon an heap, very far from the city Adam, that is, beside Sarathan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Here we see that as they followed the ark, as they sanctified themselves, that the Lord did those wonders amongst them. A clean people amongst whom the Lord did many marvelous works. Exercising faith always requires steps of obedience. As we seek to prove God's power, as we seek to prove God's faithfulness, as we seek to prove God's presence amongst us, then steps of obedience similar to what we see recorded in this chapter are required. Consider the first one for just a little moment. The move from Shittim to Jordan was all about disturbing the present. Here was a place where they had encamped for many days. Here was a place where they had got accustomed to the surroundings as they had pitched their tent and as they had observed the passing of Moses and the establishment then of Joshua as God took Moses from them. And as now Joshua was established in the very midst of the people as being their leader, this was all taking place as the people had pitched their tent and spent their days at Shittim. But now God was seeking that they would disturb their presence. They couldn't get comfortable there. This was not their final destination. Yes, it undoubtedly was the final place that they had set up camp under the leadership of Moses. And undoubtedly it was a place that God had led a servant there. But now these were new days. These were important times. And just as Joshua had already confirmed to them in verse 11 of chapter 1, it was but 3 days from the very time and from the very moment that they would cross over. These were the times that God desired that their present circumstances might be disturbed. Here wasn't the place or the time to sit and to lick their wounds, to mope around because Moses was dead. This wasn't a time to sit back and see how the new kid in the block was going to do. This was a time to be up and doing, and this was a time that they might prepare to claim their inheritance, ready to prove their God, ready to prove His word. And so it was necessary to disturb their present. To secure a future you must always disturb the present. To secure a future, you must always disturb the present. Yes, undoubtedly in the camp there were those who didn't agree. They didn't see the sense in moving camp just a short distance to the banks of the Jordan. Indeed, as they looked at the Jordan, undoubtedly there were some who thought this isn't even the right time to cross the Jordan. Why not wait for more favorable circumstances? Why come at such a time whenever Jordan itself was so swollen that the river was enhanced in size? Here was a great company of people, and all that was required was that they were crossed from one side to the other. So why not wait for a better time? Perhaps there was even some amongst them who didn't think that Joshua was the right man. But God would take care of all of that. They were required to press on. See, God had a plan already to magnify Joshua in the people's eyes. God had a plan already to open the way across the Jordan. God had a plan already to deliver the city of Jericho into their hands. God had a plan already to prove that this was the right way and the right time. The lesson that's to be learned in all of this, I believe, is that we must never cease to be willing to disturb the present. Indeed, it's true also that we must never cease to be willing to be disturbed in the present. Also a future. Our future can be secured. Corrie ten Boom put it this way. If we are to better the future, then we must disturb the present. But could it be that we live in a faithless generation? Could it be we live in a time whenever people think that such marvelous deeds and acts as recorded in the book of the books of the Bible, and indeed the records of history down through the days of the church, is that all of these things are impossible to see accomplished in our time and in our generation, simply because we are unwilling to bear the cross of disturbing the present. Perhaps even some of us unwilling to be disturbed in the present. Could it be that our being averse to change, our apathy to being challenged by truth, our insistence of comfort to be prioritized over activity and unsettlement, is all because Shittim has a hold of our hearts? But God says, get up from Shittim. Pack it all up. And yes, you're just going a few steps down the road, and yes, it's a great degree of unsettlement and discomfort for you, unless it's a lot of work to move your families and to move the entire nation, but a few steps. But come to the Jordan and see what I will do. I haven't redeemed you to dwell at Shittim. I haven't promised you the land on the other side of the Jordan. No, I have promised you the land of Canaan. And by faith, you're going to claim all that I have promised to you if you are willing to disturb the present and if you are willing to be disturbed in the present. And so come to the Jordan today and see what I will do. To exercise our faith, we must be willing to disturb the present. Consider the second of these steps of obedience as recorded in God's word, following after the ark. Not seeking in any way to trivialize scripture, but boiling this statement down to its simplest form, we can rightly say they followed God. Here the people are commanded to follow after that which testified at the very presence of God in the midst of his people. This ark was that which contained the very written word of God to the people. And it was this, together with the mercy seat, that validated to the people that their God was a God of justice and grace. Now consider this scene from Jericho's walls. And see how the watchmen of that city, as they are anticipating something to happen in the camp of Israel, note that as they have set up a camp, they have set up this temporary camp now, right on the very brink of the Jordan, that there's some movement, there's some activity on this third day. This was out of the ordinary. Because the movement that was spied from the walls of Jericho was anything but ordinary, because instead of the advancement of many rows and columns of soldiers, these watchmen, all they could see was just a small group of men. And this small group of men carried upon their shoulders, upon two staves, an ark overlaid with gold. Slowly but ever so surely, this little group of men set off towards the Jordan. And it wasn't until there was a distance of approximately 2/3 of a mile that there was any movement from the rest of the people. And even then, when all the people stood to their feet, and when all the people assembled together, whenever the columns of the people formed, and they began to follow after the ark, it wasn't a rush, it wasn't a stampede. It was simple, deliberate steps, matching the very pace of the priests who went before them. For remember, God had said through his servants that there must remain that distance existent between them and the very presence of God amongst them. It's all recorded in verse 4. The significance of this cannot be underestimated. Indeed, according to the end of verse 4, it must not be underestimated. Because as all of this is unfolding before, yes, the eyes of Jericho, but more importantly, before the very eyes of the people themselves, this was but a reminder that they had not passed this way heretofore. And these steps of obedience, one of which is very much entwined with the following after the ark, was a testimony to that this, in the dawning of the leadership of Joshua and in the coming to the very brink of the Jordan, was a new time, a new beginning in the life of the nation. This was a new way of life. It was a new manifestation of an attitude of obedience in the hearts of the people. Here they were, disturbing the present. Here they were following God and exercising their faith. How comforting and encouraging it must have been for Joshua and for all the leaders to see that the nation wholly followed the Lord. How glorifying to God it must have been for heaven to record that His people were willing to obey and to follow Him. This was undoubtedly new. Because where their forefathers had failed in a generation previous, where their forefathers had failed to believe in God and to trust His purposes, despite the evidence of giants in the land, despite the report that there were many cities to overcome, despite the fact that, yes, the days that lay before them would be arduous as they would move through the land and conquer their inheritance, they balked at the very promises of God. But here is the command is given. Here is they're seeking to exercise their faith, and they do so by demonstrating these steps of obedience. They're following after God. They're not taking the easy choice anymore, where the protection, the preservation of their homes and their families was undoubtedly at the forefront of their mind, where this unwillingness to be disturbed in the present was all prevalent all around. No, here were a people who were following after God and seeking to do His will. They did not make the easy choices. They did not make the selfish choices. They simply sought to follow after God, take him at his word, obey his word, prove his word, and follow his word. Their past proved that they should. Their present necessitated that they should. Their future, it demanded that they should. I tell you today, it hasn't changed one iota. The past proves to us that we can take God at His word and that we should, with unflinching desire and obedient hearts, follow in His word. And the present necessitates that we should, as we see evil men wax worse and worse and we live in the very darkest of hours. And the future for our families and the future for our children and the future indeed for our nation and for our time and for our country depend upon our willingness to follow wholeheartedly after God. Our steps of obedience as we exercise our faith are to be characterized by this following after God. By taking Him at His word, by obeying His word, by proving His word, and by following His word. Now read with me again in the verse 3. They commanded the people who? The officers. What's their message? Follow God. Look in verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Look at verse 6. Joshua spake unto the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. Look in verse 9. It tells us there, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Many different messengers, many different people to whom the message is being delivered, to the priests, to the people, and indeed by the officers to the people. But nevertheless, the message is consistent. Follow God. Follow God. Here was a people who obeyed and hearkened to one voice. The voice of God. They were led by those who hearkened to one voice, the voice of God. And the voice of God was, abundantly clear. For in verse 7, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was, that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I shall command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. It's time to go. It's time to come to the Jordan. I know that today in a generation where many voices clamor to be heard, when sadly many share not the truth of God's word, but rather their opinion or their views, we as the people of God need to be sure that we're listening to, we need to be sure that we're led by the voice of God alone. And the voice of God alone will always be consistent with the word of God alone. For just as the officer said to the people in verse 4, it's by this that ye will know the way by which ye must go. As you hear the voice of God, it's His voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. It was seen in their disturbing the present, it was seen in their following God, but it was also seen, these steps of obedience was also seen in their holy way of living. One truth about discerning God's will is directly connected to this charge that's given in verse 5, sanctify yourselves. For God's voice will always call us to more holiness, not less. His word consistently repeats that refrain, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And so the way that God leads, the message that God gives, can always be tested by the direction that it takes us. The psalmist put it this way, "He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." His word will be always that which calls us to be more conformed to the image of his own dear son. His word will always be that which seeks to chisel off the rough edges of our lives. His word will be that which truly calls us to embody the fruits of the Spirit and the marks of a true believer. You and I will never be led by God to behave in a way, to speak in a manner, or to take a stand upon that which is self-serving or self-promoting. We are to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so as we follow Him, as we are led by Him, we live lives characterized by more holiness, not less. Here, an imperative is given. Sanctify yourselves. But this was a command with promise, with expectation, for he says, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Here, Joshua is simply saying that to a holy people, a holy God would reveal his mighty hand. Again, nothing has changed. It's through vessels of honor that God desires to work. It's through lives yielded and submitted and conformable to his will, his word, and his way that he seeks to make himself known in our world today. And oh, that we might be that holy people through whom God can get much glory, upon whom God can pour much blessing, and in whom God can do great things. So the exercising of our faith is always seen in steps of obedience. As we disturb the present, as we follow God, and as we live holy lives. But secondly, this exercising of our faith is also seen in signs of omnipotence. Signs of omnipotence. Some eyes are already falling, so the time has departed. So I'll give you that point. We're not going to rush it. We're going to finish it next week. But these are important chapters. Chapters which will allow us to know the same victories. But as we seek to live for God and as we seek to exercise our faith, as the week lies before us, minimize not the importance of steps of obedience in your own life. May God bless his word to our hearts truly today. It's with you, the word of God the Father, from before the world began, every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. indeed that thou hast blessed thy word to our hearts. We pray that we will have that same desire to exercise our faith, even in the days in which we live, the circumstances of life that we face. May this be a daily desire of our hearts as we walk in obedience to thee. Bless us and do us good throughout this week. Help us to prevail in thy name, for we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us and washed us from our sin. To him be all the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.